Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to Table Manners. We've missed you. We're back. Mum has had a few holidays. I have had none.
You did get a baby though.
I did get a baby.
A very cute baby.
A very cute baby. And we are thrilled to be back for season 12. It's autumn. It's feeling lovely. I feel like new school year. It feels like the beginning of something
special.
Best
time of the year.
It really is.
Well, I think that's because you and I have birthdays in October.
Well, let's speak about your birthday. It was a big one this week. Do you want to tell your listeners what a great daughter I am?
No.
Oh.
First, I'd like to talk about how I've entered, sadly, my eighth decade. That is depressing.
I like how you said decade.
Someone sent me a birthday card saying 21 plus 49 years experience.
You're 70.
No, I'm 70.
You look great.
Thank you, darling.
Shout out to Lily Vanilli for the cake.
Oh, wow, that was a cake.
Mum was like, you know, I can't really organise my own cake. I was like, don't worry, we'll sort it. So I went to the best of the best, Lily Vanilli, who actually, Mum, is opening a tea room in Drury Lane Theatre, I think.
Oh, I think we'll go.
And anyway, so I said to Lily, I was like, I need to make it like a wedding cake for a 70th. And she was like, okay, tell me what she likes, what colours. And I was like, listen, all I know about my mum is she wears a red lip, she likes Cosmopolitans, she loves leopard print, and she likes gold. Go for it. When Isabella, my
Three
cousin, saw
tears.
It, she said, that's a hun cake.
A what?
A hun cake.
What's that mean?
We'll put it on the Instagram and let people decide whether they think it's a hun cake or not.
Okay.
I mean, it's a huge
it was
accolade.
It was a fabulous, fabulous
Well, you did,
cake.
You looked fabulous at the weekend. Where was that jumpsuit from?
Wallace.
Oh my God, Mum, maybe you should be the face of Wallace.
This is Wallace too.
You literally keep them in business. I don't know anybody else who wears
but
Wallace still.
They suit me.
It was a wow factor.
Did it look all right?
Yeah, you look fab.
All I can tell you is that I wore undergarments that are akin to scaffolding. Actually, I could barely move my body because it was so tight and every part of me was held
Welcome
in.
Welcome to showbiz, Mum. How we suffer.
I thought I'd had a deep vein thrombosis in one leg at one stage because my leg was throbbing. And I did have to ask a friend's boyfriend to unzip me in the downstairs loo. And I think he did not know what was coming next.
You don't know him very well, do you?
No, not at all. I've met him twice. And I said, could you unzip me, please?
God.
And then I said, you'll have to stay there because you need to zip me back up. And I said to him, it could take some time because of what I'm wearing underneath. Will take a long time to get up and back down and up.
Oh,
he didn't know what to say.
I like the blush that you've done. Oh, you've done a little highlighter today, Mother.
Darling, I always use this.
No,
and
this is a little.
I look well.
I think we need to blend a bit more, but it's fabulous.
I don't.
You
blend
look like you're going to Studio 54,
because the
Mum.
Bits go down on my jumper.
We'll blend a bit, but you do look fab. Anyway, we. Starting off our series with a bit of a star.
Hollywood royalty, I would say.
He's incredibly loved.
Very loved.
Respected.
Respected.
You'll know his face.
Absolutely.
He's been in The Hunger Games, Julie and Julia.
Devil Wears Prada.
He's a massive foodie. He's got Emmy. He just won an Emmy for Searching for Italy. His cookery program that goes through Italy, learning about the origins of dishes. And he's got a memoir out called Taste, which is all about his,
you know, it's a food memoir.
Can't wait to meet him.
I'm very excited, but he's very much a foodie.
Well, I hope it's going to come up to snuff, darling.
What have you made for him, Mum?
So I've done your favourite today.
I love this.
I've done tagliata.
Yeah.
I don't think I've made my salsa verde like you do. It looks a bit more like tartar sauce. It's not as green. I think salsa verde sometimes looks like a bit like mint sauce. But if you put in Dijon mustard, which I've put in, and you put in lemon juice and olive oil, it's got to emulsify a bit. Mm. So anyway, I think it will taste nice. And I've done that with rocket and parmesan and some roasted asparagus with tomatoes, garlic and pine nuts.
Lovely.
Yep. And then...
Shit, I was supposed to bring an orange, wasn't I?
Yeah.
Fuck. I forgot.
That was going to be in the mascarpone and it has to be an orange.
Oh, yeah, very. Can we ask next door?
Yeah, you can. You can go.
Sugar. Sorry. Because I've had orange and mascarpone ice cream that you made in St. Ives.
It just lifts the mascarpone a bit. Will you just go next door?
Yes, I will go next
door. And ask Damien.
And hope they've got an orange.
So the pudding, I've made polenta and lemon cake.
Was Damien going out? Should we just pop and get
him? Go quick now. Cheers.
Cheers. What a pleasure. My God. Thank you.
Well, I hope the food's up to snuff.
Come on. You guys have cooked for... Come on. Are you kidding? You're like...
But I've heard about
the queens of food.
Is it bad? Is it bad?
Did Stanley bring this?
No, I didn't.
Oh, good, because I was about to be like, Mum, that's
fucking rude. It's just interesting. It's not like... It's very dry. What do you think?
Oh, no, you're both making...
What's 12 quid a bottle?
She really pushed the boat out for you, Stanley.
That's weird.
Okay, let's just...
Yeah, sorry. I don't mean to be rude.
No, I'm glad that, like...
But I didn't... Can we have this wine?
Yeah.
Let's have anything but that rosé.
No.
I have got some red to have.
Do you want me to crack it open?
Yeah. Yeah. You want me to sit still?
Do you live near each other?
Yes.
Near enough.
Yeah. That's good.
I live in Southeast London. Okay. And this is Southwest London.
Okay.
Where do you live?
Southwest, Barnes.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Love Barnes.
Yeah, I love it.
How long have you been there?
8 years.
You're kind of a Londoner now.
Completely. Can't you tell by my accent?
Do you miss what? States?
I miss my family.
Yeah.
I miss my parents. I haven't seen my parents for almost 2 years. And that I used to live, that's because of the pandemic. But I used to live, my parents were still living in the house that I grew up in when I moved from Westchester, New York, and I was living 10 minutes away. So it was, I would see them all the time.
Is that quite a common Italian thing to do, to not fly too far from
the nest? Not as much anymore, but the first generations, like my parents, my grandparents came over, but my parents never lived too far away from them. And then I ended up not living too far away from my parents. Let's try this one.
No, I know I like this.
Do you know what? This, you know you like
this. Yeah, I love it.
Oh, so you were just giving me the cheap stuff. Because you were saving this for yourself. Hey, listen, for after the podcast.
Listen. Stanley,
12 quid on a bottle for my...
£12 for me is a lot, and it was reduced from 15. That is...
Really?
Yeah. Really, you should.
Because nobody was buying it. I almost poured it right into my microphone.
You're right, exactly.
Oh, my God.
No, I love this one.
So you like this one. What is it?
Let's hope it's a bit better. Yeah, I like it.
Now you're going to have to say you like this one too, Stanley. Actually, I feel like we're getting on that you'll be like, you know what? I'm not sure about it.
No, this is nice.
Yeah.
No, it's not really heavy enough.
No.
But it's
great.
Fine.
Perfect.
Yeah, for what we
need. Not too woody.
Are you a wine connoisseur?
Nobody is. He's just bought wine for us, darling.
I mean, he bought two... lovely parcels.
I haven't even opened
nice
them.
Bags.
They are nice bags.
Yeah, the wine is.
But we appreciate it.
No, I'm not a wine connoisseur by any means. I only know what I like.
Yeah.
And I'm not, I don't go for the big fancy sort of stuff. You know, I always try to find a bargain.
Do you not like Italian wines?
I love Italian
Primitivo.
Wines. Primitivo is delicious.
I'm happy.
Yeah. And I really love any of the wines, like basically any of the wines from Piemonte, like that Lange area where, you know, the Barbaresco and the Barolo and all that sort of...
Barolo.
All that. It's like so good. It doesn't have to be like the really expensive ones or anything. It's just...
Do you go on
so
holiday
nice.
In Italy?
When we used to before this happened.
Where's your favourite place?
That's very hard to say. I don't know.
Do you
know.
Go seaside? Or
sometimes. Sometimes.
Or the Tuscan Hills?
Sometimes. Wherever. You know, we rent different places, different times. You know, I really do like up north a lot. Like, I love Lake Como, and I just think that's
so
beautiful.
That's where you met your wife.
That's where I met my wife. If I could live someplace.
Beyond the edge of Lake Como.
I live here. But, if I could have another something. Can I grab a little of that ice over there?
Yeah, do you mind? Of course. So, you have a TV program that has just come out.
Yes.
Searching for Italy.
Yes.
And some friends of mine, such as Bella Mackey, who listens to the podcast, was so in love with this program. She said, I can't tell you anything about this because it's not out yet. So can you tell us about Searching for Italy?
Yes, I can. Searching for Italy is this... CNN came to me about 2.5 years ago and they said, do you have any ideas for a show? And I said, yes, I have three different ideas. One was about cancer, and I saw their eyes glaze over. And then one was about refugees and food. Mm. And then there was this one. And this is an idea that I've had for a really long time, which is breaking down Italy region by region and the food and why that food is the way it is. But also to sort of, it's in a way, a sort of hopes of clarifying what Italian food is, which is, it can't really be clarified. The only thing that can be clarified is that it's from really simple ingredients, and it basically is cucina povera. It's like all poor food. Mm. But the influences over the centuries and millennia are profound because of where it's situated geographically. So if you think about it, the most southern point in Italy is on the island of Lampedusa. That's 90 miles away from the coast of North Africa. The highest point, farthest northern point, has a German name, and you're in the Alps. So everything in between is a combination of strangely of both of those things. And the influences from the Arab world, from Africa, from Spain, from Germany, from Austria, from France, from the Baltics, it's incredible.
So what would be a dish in Lampedusa that you really feel the African influence?
Something like, I think they call it beca fico, which is like, you'd have pine nuts, you'd have orange in there, you'd have raisins, and it's made with these tiny little fish and breadcrumbs. And
I've never heard of anything
it's really
like
cool.
That.
And then up north in like Lombardy, right, which is where, Lake Como, farther north into the Alps, you'll have a dish called pizzoccheri, which is all buckwheat noodles. You very seldom see a tomato or an eggplant or anything like that. And you'll have buckwheat noodles with this special kind of cheese that's just from cows from that area, cabbage, lots of butter, garlic, and potatoes.
So this program takes you, basically, you went on a food expedition all around Italy. Yes. The best job in the world, right?
Yes. But more tiring than I thought.
Really?
It was. Yeah, I have to say.
Did you go with your wife?
She came a couple times, and so she's in a couple of the episodes. And then we're gonna go back and do more. But we just break it down region by region. But it was much harder than I thought.
Do you speak the lingo?
I do a bit, yeah.
Enough to sound authentic.
Yes, enough to get by.
Yeah.
So I lived in Italy when I was a kid for a year. But that was...
Was that
I
your
was
parents
12.
Making you go for a
no,
summer?
No, that was my dad went to... My dad studied at the Academia for a year. Okay. So this is 1972, 73. I was 12. And he studied for a year, and I went right into an Italian school. So within 2 months, I had to speak.
God, that must have been quite daunting, right?
I don't know. I don't remember it as being daunting. I remember it as being much easier than I thought. I still couldn't do maths, but I could speak another language.
And so how old were you?
12.
And is that why your lunchboxes changed to being fabulous?
Is that why what?
Your lunchboxes. You were telling me about his lunch.
I read in your book, your book Taste. I'm enjoying it so much. It's beautiful. And there was this moment. We always ask our guests. Well, actually, we kind of sometimes forget because we drink too much wine. But we ask what their lunchbox was at school.
Oh.
And you do a whole week of lunchbox options that your mother used to give you. Can you go through some of these options?
Sure, yeah. Because the food was so bad, right?
In America?
At school.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Okay.
And
oh,
in
right,
any right. school, in okay. any school, probably anywhere in the world, yeah, okay. let's face it. But you were, and my parents didn't buy it, it wasn't worth the money to, you know, to buy it. And so we would have, whatever I had for lunch was usually what was left over from dinner the night before. So if we had eggplant parmigiana.
Oh, my favorite right, thing on earth.
Then we would, I would have that, but as a sandwich.
Did you within a sandwich. Did you resent your mum for that? Because was it that thing that yours were quite fragrant and everyone else had like cheese and ham? Your mate had marshmallow fluff.
Yeah, fluffernutter. Yeah. Which, what is that? You know, what even is it? Every now and again, I would swap with him, but I would feel guilty, and then I would you know, wait.
Guilty because you loved your mum so much.
Well, yes.
Are you Catholic?
Yes. Yeah. Huh?
Are you Catholic?
Well, I was.
Okay.
Yeah.
yeah. But so you did.
God,
have these...
I'd swap the aubergine parmesan.
Right. I know.
So
wow.
we'd have that, and then if we had like veal cutlets. So in the 1960s,
oh, yeah,
right,
nice veal.
1960s
yeah.
veal was cheap.
Yeah.
Right. You could get veal. Now it's like, I made veal the other night. You know, I had to take out another mortgage.
Yeah.
For you know, with all the kids. But if you, you know, you should have veal cutlet sandwich one day, you know, the eggplant parmigiana, or my mother would make like a, almost like a frittata. She'd make just, at the end of the week, she would make just like sautéed peppers, potatoes, and scrambled eggs, and you put that on like a half a loaf
Lovely.
Of Italian bread. That was amazing. These were amazing.
But did you appreciate it at the time?
I did. Okay. I did. And then you'd have moments where you go like, I just want to be like, all of the other Americans.
Bart.
You know what I mean? Yeah,
yeah,
Bart or Biff or, you know, Sandy, you know. But but yeah, but then I was like, this is so fucking good, you know.
You actually, it's really funny because I had drink.
Can I? Are you
Absolutely.
Gonna, you're gonna, do you mind? I love it.
He wants to get onto
love
the Miraval, Mum.
Yeah. Let me
So,
thank you,
but it's really interesting reading your book because you celebrate your mother's cooking and
yeah.
you say that you...
Just like you, Jess.
Well, actually, I do celebrate your
but
cooking.
But is that how it started?
Yeah. And actually, I wrote my own kind of food memoir. Do you know you can call it a foodoir? How do you feel about that?
No, I like it. Sounds really French.
Sounds like a
Sounds
loop.
Even more French.
I mean, it sounds a bit yeah. more kind of...
collaboratory a bit.
Yeah.
So anyway, I call mine a food memoir, but mine's very much about kind of my Jewish upbringing. So, and mum's food and her always having food on the table. And you marvel at your mum doing that too. There was always a home cooked meal on the table
oh,
every
yeah.
night.
Oh yeah.
And you and your sisters like different bits and bobs, but mm-hmm. she kind of, you know, and she, I loved what she said about the neighbour. Please tell everyone what she'd say when you.
Oh, she'd say, well, you'd say, what are we having for dinner? And she'd say something like pork chops, which I hated. I don't know why I hated them, but I hated them. I go, oh, really? And she'd go, why don't you go over and see what the neighbors are having?
Because the neighbor's food yeah. wasn't that fabulous.
Oh, no, it was horrible. No, there was no one, none of my friends' parents. Now, this is suburbia, but pretty kind of more rural, a little more rural suburbia than it is now. Westchester, New York, about 60 miles north of the city.
I saw Barry White sing at the Westchester, whatever it is.
Are you kidding?
The biggest place on earth.
Really?
Yeah, I was in New York with my brother.
The Westchester, yeah, what was
yeah,
it, what's
it
called?
Yeah, it was some big kind of...
Arts
it, yeah,
thing
it was an
or something.
Thing,
yeah, my parents went and saw Frank Sinatra
well,
there.
I saw
yeah.
Barry White there, young. And it was wonderful.
Really?
And I had to go on a train. It was quite
a
bit of a way, but I was desperate to see him.
Was he living in New York? Your brother?
Yeah, my
I
brother
don't mean
lived.
White,
in, my
yeah.
brother lived in New York for a little while, and I went when I was must have been 21, 22.
Right.
And we lived quite near Grand Central Station.
Oh wow!
He was in an apartment there, and I saw Barry White was playing, and I was there for 6 weeks, and I just thought I'm going, so I went.
Oh yeah, you just get the train up.
Yeah.
It was like near White Plains
yeah.
or Rye.
Yeah, yeah,
yes.
yeah,
yeah, yeah.
And it was great.
Yeah.
Westchester County.
Westchester County, yeah.
Yeah.
Which is huge.
It's huge, isn't
huge.
It?
Huge. Yeah. As soon as you come out of the Bronx, you're in Westchester County.
So do people, it's like moving from London to Windsor or to
exactly.
a bit more rural.
A bit
yeah.
farther, but yeah.
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 What I loved about the recipes in your book were, you know, you talk about how to make a pomodoro or your ragu, mm-hmm. family's ragu, but there was something so simple about it, yet, and not, I believe every dish is so satisfying and beautiful but and it reminds what you said about Italian cooking, the simplicity of it, but like when done well.
Yeah.
Did your mother like cooking?
She says, and I wrote this in the book, that she said she couldn't cook, she didn't know how to boil water when she met my father. And I still don't believe that to this day. Her mother was an amazing cook. You know, it's just a sort of, you have to have an innate talent for it, right? But I think that for the most part, the people of Italy have that talent more than almost any other country. So there was just an understanding of taste. There was an understanding of flavor, but there was also an understanding of the genesis of the vegetable or the meat or the whatever. Where did it come from? Why did it come from there? What do you do with it? How do you make sure that nothing goes to waste? And then how many different things can you make out of that taste good? That's the lesson. And I don't even think as a kid they knew, my mother or, you know, or her sisters knew that they were learning that. You just learned it. It was just a part of you. And then you're eating the food and you know what tastes, you know what it's supposed to taste like. And then when you go out into the world and you start to taste things, you kind of go, ooh, what's that? That doesn't taste like blah, blah, blah.
Should we put the...
I'm going to do it now.
Okay.
Am I...
No, so...
We're having tagliata.
Tagliata?
Yeah.
Si.
Is that okay?
Si, perfect.
Was this a silly thing to do because we're cooking tagliata for an Italian?
Why?
I don't know. I'm kind of slightly nervous about this.
Do we cook together?
You can if you want. Mum was just going to whack it on because it takes such a short time.
Yeah, it's quick.
Yeah.
Yeah, whatever
and
you
I'm
want.
And I'm going to keep on asking you some questions so we don't...
Oh, know. Yes. I'm sorry. Yes.
Well, unless you want to cook.
No.
Are you a bit of a backseat driver in the kitchen, Stanley? Do you need to oversee Mum's tagliata?
No.
I feel like...
Do you need to oversee Mum's tagliata, which sounds so dirty? No, I don't. I don't need to oversee her tagliata.
Are you sure?
Yes, I'm positive.
Listen,
yes.
If you feel like she's not doing something right, like roast potatoes, you can go over there.
Not.
He's so appalled by the way we speak to... I thought, don't Italians speak to each other like this too? Or
constantly.
Not? Okay, fine. So constantly. You feel at you home,
no? Totally.
Okay, fine.
Yeah.
But maybe you've been with a British woman for too long now that you're so polite to each other. Yeah. Now you're...
Well, I'm not, but she is. But sometimes if I say things... And she'll say something and I'll go like, well, I don't know. Maybe the guy went over to the blah, blah, blah. She goes, why are you yelling at me? There's no need to take that tone. I'm like,
I'm not yelling.
I wasn't yelling at you. She goes, why are you so upset? I go, I'm not upset. I'm just telling you that, I don't know. I don't know why the guy did that. You know, something. And then it becomes a sort of conversation about, were you actually upset? It's like, no, I wasn't upset. Well, what is upset? Do you know what I mean? There's no question a lot of it is cultural.
So listen, I need to know about this Meryl Streep situation with the, how do you say it?
Andriette. That too.
Please paint the picture. Because we've had a similar story with another person in this podcast.
Oh.
Roisin Murphy, brilliant singer.
Yeah.
Tried this thing. So now people may not listen to that
The
episode.
Same thing.
Yeah.
Where?
And she had a similar reaction. She tried it in Paris, I think. Yes.
Yeah, so. It's a very common reaction.
So can you explain for people that haven't heard of it?
So Andrea is made in Normandy.
Mm.
And it's basically like a kind of a sausage.
Mm.
However, all of it's filled with entrails. So it's not filled with meat. So a sausage is an entrail, right? An intestine filled with meat and spices, whatever. This is just like an entrail filled with entrails. And they're strongly spiced. I don't even know how much they're really cooked. I don't quite know. They're cleaned. I think they're maybe boiled. I don't know exactly. But they'll also use... Well, we didn't know. So we thought, okay, so it'll use like the colon of the animal and the, I mean, like everything you don't, you just think, I don't want to eat that. It's in there.
Yeah.
Whatever you think.
Make a noise.
Okay.
All right. Whatever you think you don't want to eat of an animal will be in there.
Right.
Okay. So, and it's a delicacy. And sometimes they're quite big. I mean, they'll literally be, I mean, obviously there's a podcast, you can't. But they're big. So, Meryl and I said, oh, Meryl, they have Andriette. Do you think she goes, oh, yeah, I go, have you ever tried it? She goes, No.
Did you know what you were doing?
No, I had no idea.
So it wasn't like a trick.
No, I thought it was like andouille sausage, which is a little sausage that's really delicious. Mm. You know, maybe slightly spicy, maybe, you know, but delicious. Mm. And I thought andouillette,
even smaller.
Make even smaller. So tiny little sausages, sweet little, lovely little, maybe spicy
in
things.
Normandy, yeah.
Is that what? Yeah. So she goes, I go, have you tried one? She goes, no. I go, should we try? She goes, yeah. She goes, I love sausage. Love onion sausage. Yeah, me too. Yeah. So she ordered it. I ordered it. Chris Messina ordered it. And Meryl's brother, Dana, ordered it.
And you're filming at the, what are you
filming? No, we're not filming.
You're not filming.
No,
you're
we're doing a press junket. We're on our way to do a press junket in Paris. We went to the Deauville Film Festival.
Right.
Which is a really amazing, to promote Julie and Julia, which is an amazing festival that is so much fun.
Yeah.
And beautiful, and the food there is like incredible, and you know, you have the incredible wines, and you have Calvados because it's the Normandy area. And that morning we went to the D-Day beaches and we had a tour of that, and it was just like kind of your dream, kind of. Then you're going to Paris. You're going to do an incredible, you know, press tour for a movie that you actually like, which doesn't always happen. and you're going to be with your friends, and you're going to eat, and you're going to have a good time. So,
and you're with Meryl Streep.
And you're with Meryl.
Like, is she as great as
she's the greatest? She's the greatest. She's the loveliest person. I mean, an incredibly generous person, and like a very dear. She's a devoted friend. It's really sweet.
She's amazing.
All right, so we go. All right, we'll have this. So we have some wine. We have our little appetizers. So our mains come, which is the andouillette, and basically what. And this is what I wrote in the book, what is put before us, I can only say it resembled a horse cock. And I looked at it and I thought, it doesn't even really look like it's, not only does it look like a horse cock, but it looks like an uncooked horse cock.
Oh, delicious.
So we both sort of looked at each other and I went, wow, that's not what I expected. She goes, no. I go, well, it looks like a horse cock. So we tasted it, and needless to say, I almost vomited.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah, it was that. As soon as it just touched my tongue, I almost threw up. Her brother took one huge bite, swallowed it, took another bite, and then looked at me like he was ashen. Meryl tasted it, and she said, oh, well, it does have a bit of the barnyard about it. and needless to say, then the guy, you know, the owner comes over and he looks at us and he goes, so the andouillette? We go, oh, no, it's really great, but it's just not what we expected. You know, it's just not, it's a little like, you know, it's different than others we've had. You know, you're just lying and lying trying to.
Was he offended?
No, not at all. Not at all. Not at all. Not like.
Do you think he expected?
Not like
you?
A Parisian. No. Oh, right. He goes, okay. He says, would you like anything else? And we said, yeah. Can we just have four omelets? So, the studio had to pay for our mistake.
Oh my god.
Yeah, but it wasn't. I mean, it was really horrible. I'm very adventurous.
Yeah.
When it comes to food, but I'm sorry. But I have to say, if you ever get the chance. You have
to. Do not
try
it.
No, do not try it, but you have to at least see it and smell it.
Okay.
You have, not when you're pregnant, but you. No, that would be not good. But because it is unlike anything. And just look up the Wikipedia. I put the Wikipedia definition in the book because it's a really funny description of it.
I will. Now, I want to know, because you are adventurous, but you can't eat spice, can you?
No, I can't now. No.
Was that something that happened?
No, I never cared for spice, but since I had treatments, I haven't been able to eat spice. Yeah.
Do you feel like, do you miss any dishes or?
No, I like a little bit of pepperoncino every now and again, but I never was a really spicy. I was never interested in spice that much. I mean, every now and again a little chorizo or something, but I never. I would like sometimes like a Thai curry. You know, not, but not mild, but mild.
Could you not even have a green curry?
Oh, no.
Now?
Oh, no.
Oh, right.
No.
Okay.
That's like somebody takes a blowtorch to your mouth.
Really?
Yeah. It's if you have radiation, and I had very high dose radiation because I had a tumor in the back of my base of my tongue, it destroys so much of your soft tissue. It destroys your taste buds. It destroys your saliva. It destroys, and it takes a very, very long time to come back. And it burns out your nerves. So because those nerves are burned, this is what I was told, that anything that touches them is like hypersensitive. And you'd think it'd sort of be the opposite. You'd think they'd be dulled, but in fact, the opposite is true. So a doctor suggested to me a little while ago that I take a little Tabasco sauce, I'm not kidding, and put it in water and drink it. He said, because what that's going to do is that's going to help them, it'll help them work again.
And how did it feel?
I haven't done it.
You haven't done
it?
No,
I'm too afraid.
Right.
Yeah.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
I really was fascinated by, well, it makes a lot of sense, but you're very prescriptive about, and I now probably understand that most Italians are the same, mm-hmm. about which pasta goes with which sauce. Mm. Yeah. I've been doing it wrong, and I
have
apologize.
You?
Well, I think so.
No, don't. I wasn't here. It's all right.
But, like, it really
but
gets
from now
your,
on,
it gets your goat.
Yeah, it gets my goat, yeah.
What's the worst thing that somebody could do, though?
Cutting the spaghetti. Yeah, that's...
It's just an absolute no-no.
No. Unless you don't have teeth.
Or you're a toddler.
Yeah, or you're a toddler, yeah. But even then, it's just fun to watch a toddler eat spaghetti.
My son usually chokes on it because he's such a greedy bugger that he kind of doesn't chew it. So then he's got all these things and then it's kind of like he's got
he's like Medusa.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So would you say that that's like, I guess it's quite a kind of, it's an Italian table manner that you don't appreciate to see.
No, it's egregious. I mean, you just don't do that. I saw somebody do it recently and I was like, I had to do everything I could to restrain myself. No, it's just weird.
And will you never go out for dinner with them again? Or just not an Italian with them?
Yeah, I can't, yeah. I'll give them a piece of steak.
I really kind of...
It's tough. No. It's like people rinsing off their pasta after you cook it.
Hold on, what, to like cool it down?
I don't know.
Why do people rinse it?
I have no idea.
That is a really good point.
A lot of people do it. They cook the pasta, they put it into the colander, then they run cold water on it. And you're like...
Why?
Why would you do that? You basically just took all of that beautiful starch, that gluten, all that stuff, and you just got rid of it.
That's a very good point.
Yeah, it's weird.
Have you found that more people have offended you since you've come to Old Blighty with how they eat
pasta? No, not at all. Actually, no. No, not at all.
But you've been living in London.
Yeah.
Or the UK for 8 years, did you say?
Yeah.
Where are some of... I mean, I don't want to give away the whole book, but, like, where are some of your absolute favourite places to eat?
Oh, my God, there are so many.
Okay, but, like, you know, the one that you booked as soon as you were allowed out of lockdown.
Riva, which is in Barnes. Amazing.
Really?
Yeah, amazing. A lot of the chefs go there.
Okay.
And they love Mr. Riva, who runs it. Giorgio Locatelli's restaurant.
That's delicious.
Bocca del Lupo, fantastic, in Soho. Francesco Mazzei's restaurant, Sartoria.
So if you are going out, do you go for Italian quite a lot? Because I guess quite a lot of restaurants are off, you know, you, limits to you now.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, I love Japanese food. I love Chinese food. I mean, I can't really go to an Indian restaurant now. I can't go to a Thai restaurant now as much as I'd like to. Mm. And even Japanese is hard because sushi rice has vinegar in it, and I can't really eat vinegar that much now because it's so astringent.
When you had the treatment, I mean, so it was on the back of your tongue.
Yes.
I mean, that for somebody that, I mean, wants to live but also likes food.
Yeah.
Were you terrified that you...
I was terrified. I was terrified. I thought I was never, ever going to be able to do what I'm doing right now. Sit here and have a glass of wine and talk to you. And your mother would be cooking a steak. You were the only two I thought of.
We got you through it.
Yeah. No, I thought I'd never be able to do this again. It was so bad, and it lasted for months. I had a feeding tube, and I couldn't eat... orally for months, and then eventually when I did, it was very slow going. I still like certain things. Still, I can't really eat fruit that much. It tastes odd to me, and it sort of hurts a bit. I was really frightening, and it was very depressing. And I there's no question I suffered from depression during it, and yeah, during the treatment, after the treatment, it was really hard.
Is that why you've potentially... I mean, you've made this TV show.
Mm.
You've written this book. Maybe you were writing the book before you got the treatment, but you're celebrating food in so many different...
Yeah, I think it's...
spaces.
I think it's really just... Honestly, it's coincidental.
Uh-huh.
I had a bunch of stuff written down about food before. I never intended to write a memoir. I never thought... My life certainly would ever be worthy of a memoir. I'm still not sure. But because it's through the prism of food, then I do have something to say, I think, about it.
I'm loving it.
Oh, good.
So
good.
It's brilliant. Thanks. And it's just...
But yeah, I was writing stuff because I always wanted to write a little book about, just little essays about food. Mm. So it'd be just sort of, you know, a collection of little food essays, little stories, and maybe some recipes, a few sketches, stuff like that. Thought that'd be cool. I never expected it to take this, to turn into this. But also the show, it's a show that I had thought about 12, 15 years ago almost. And I had made notes about it and came up with a sort of like little mini treatment for it. And then they came to me and they said, what would you like to do? And then I thought, oh my God, really? And I said this, and they went, you saw their eyes light up, the CNN people. You just saw their eyes light up and go. And like almost immediately it was, okay.
Would you do another series?
Yeah, yeah, we're doing more. Yeah, so.
So will you go to other countries?
No, we talked about that. But I don't know that I'm the right person to go to other countries. It was interesting, and somebody review in The Guardian, and The Guardian review of our show was amazing. It was really lovely. And the guy said, but if he were to go to France or blah, 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 whatever he said, it wouldn't be the same because there's a connection. And that's what I had said. I don't feel that it's my job to go to France or to Scandinavia or to China or to whatever. First of all, I would never see my family. Second of all, I don't have a connection to those places. I have a connection to Italy. But what we are going to do, we're planning spin-offs of the show that I'll produce. Oh, my God, how gorgeous is that? That I'll produce, and then we'll, with the same production company and with CNN, we'll spin this off and start to do. We'll do Spain. We'll do Italy.
But with different people.
We'll do France. Yes, with people who are, like me, food obsessed. Maybe they're actors, maybe they're whatever.
Shit, yeah, it's really fucking hot.
Jesus. Jesus.
Sorry, yeah.
Jesus.
Do we swear more than your family swear?
No.
Okay, fine, that's good to know.
No. So that's the plan. So that, because I think it's really important that you have a connection to that. To absolutely, that country, absolutely. Thank you so much. I think you have to.
Thank you, Mom. This
wow,
looks
this is an
sick.
Absolutely gorgeous tagliata.
I hope so.
Would you like some more wine? Because you're a bit
yes,
empty.
I'll do.
Good. I like
do you
Stanley
want some
teaching.
Red wine?
I'm okay right now.
Okay,
this
good.
Is great. Thank
Shall
you.
I pass you some asparagus?
Sure.
Jesse, make sure you get the tomatoes
yeah.
in.
Look at how beautiful that is. Oh, guys, this is gorgeous.
Are you a good cook?
Sometimes.
Like, so which recipe did your mother pass on to you that you
Thank
feel
you.
Like you were talking about that with saying it just kind of becomes inbuilt in
There's
you?
There's a lot of them. I mean, like, to me, the eggplant parmigiana is just one of the greatest things ever.
Yes.
The lasagna bolognese is one of the greatest things ever. Steak oreganata is amazing. Chicken alla cacciatore.
Oh.
Rabbit stew, veal stew.
Which one is the one? If we were coming over to yours and you were like, Lenny and Jesse are coming over, I'm going to pull out the big guns. Which one are you going to do?
Lasagna bolognese.
Really?
Yeah. Because
oh,
it's,
Jess, we never
it's
do
really,
lasagna.
Really hard to make.
Well, that's why we don't do it, Mum.
Yeah.
Because Stanley's not there.
Well, no, because it's really hard to make. Why is it so hard to make? Is it...
Because you got to make the pasta. It has to be the right...
Oh, you make the pasta?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay,
yeah.
Fine, fair enough.
Yeah.
What would be your last supper? Are you going to return to your mother's kitchen? Or are you going to go somewhere else?
No, why would I go anywhere else?
Okay. Jesse,
no.
Take note.
I think you have to... I think you have to, you know, it's comfort food, isn't it?
So what would be?
Actually, I think aubergine parmesan is going on my desert island meal.
Don't bloody steal his line.
No,
I'm about to say
you've
that.
Reminded
I'm
me
you,
how it's
I'm
delicious.
I'm going to make you some.
I'm going to come.
I'm going to make you some.
So, starter, what are we doing?
The starter's hard, but I almost feel like I want to say something like a starter that I had at Scott's, you know, the restaurant Scott's,
yeah.
Which was razor clams with a little bit of, maybe it was, it might
it's
have been
vongole.
Huh?
Is it a vongole?
No, a razor clam.
Yeah.
Oh, I hate those.
Why?
You do? Why?
I don't know why I don't
Sometimes
like
Sometimes they
them.
Can be a bit gritty.
They're chewy.
No, that's because you got to get...
They haven't been cooked properly.
They've been overcooked.
Okay.
That's why. You have to cook them really fast.
Okay, so it's razor clams. What's there?
I think a razor clam, they had like olive oil, they had like maybe a little bit of pancetta or a little bit of prosciutto or something. I mean, they were like...
Heaven.
Absolutely
okay,
delicious.
Okay, that's your starter.
Delicious. Then, probably, as a main, lasagna bolognese.
Made by you or your mother?
My mother.
Okay.
Not by me.
Okay.
No.
Okay.
Yeah. And then, what?
Put?
Dessert.
You big put, man?
No.
You better
I'd probably
be a
just
bit
have
of a
another
man
helping of lasagna bolognese.
Or a cheese plate?
Yeah, cheese plate.
Okay. And drink?
After the lasagna. That's
oh,
hard.
You're taking it too, like, literally.
I know, but I'm thinking about it.
And then drink?
Well, to begin. I'd
okay.
Have...
Well, because you like a cocky tea,
yeah.
Don't you?
Yeah.
What's a cocky
yes.
tea?
Cocktail.
Oh, me too. Which one's yours?
Well, I have a martini.
Oh, you like martini? Dirty?
No.
Oh, I
clean?
Like dirty.
Very clean.
Oh.
Yeah, I'd like to have a really beautiful gin or vodka martini.
Do the James Bond people know that you're you're partial to the odd? I think they're
I
casting
think they
the
do,
new
yeah.
James Bond.
I know. I know. I'm just, you know, 30 years too old, and
so
too
okay,
short
so
and bald.
So
but
not.
But the yes that, and then I'd have the martini, and then with the bolognese. I'd have a little bit of white wine in between, and then you'd have a proper, like...
A big glass of red.
Yeah, a nice glass of red. You know, something
Barolo,
from Chianti, the Barolo,
yeah.
something of real substance.
Yeah.
And then with the cheese plate, I'd have the Barolo. With the Bolognese, I'd have something, I don't know what, like something, a Nebbiolo grape, which is...
But I don't think you're a big drinker.
What are you talking about? He's bloody...
Yeah.
He's paired every meal with a drink,
yeah,
and he's drunk a bottle of wine with you in bloody hour. He's ready for the next one.
That's
no
a
judgment,
little
slow. I'm going to open another one.
I think that's a little slow.
So, okay.
Do you like karaoke? I bet you don't, really.
I don't, I'm... I.
Would you if you
thing.
Had to? If Meryl said, do a duet with us.
No.
You wouldn't?
No, no. She has a beautiful voice. And I,
has
and
she?
I, yeah, gorgeous.
She didn't sound like it in Florence. What's her name?
What are you talking about? No, she didn't sound like it in Mamma Mia.
Have something on your face.
The Florence thing.
The Cruella?
No, the one with Hugh Grant. That she didn't have an... Shit, what are you having?
What is it?
You had a piece of potato. It's gone. No, it's gone. It was a piece of potato.
This is great. A lot of highlights to glow for you, but no, potato. I thought you were going to say she wasn't good in Mamma Mia.
No,
she did a good job going on that.
Amazing. No, the Florence Foster Jenkins thing. She wasn't supposed to be able to sing.
No, I know.
No, I thought you were.
Okay, so what would be your karaoke song?
Oh God.
But can you sing?
Huh? No, I don't.
Because you have a very nice kind of fruity voice.
Thank you. Thank you. Yes, but I'm not a singer. I like the... I know the lyrics to a lot of... Like the American Songbook and all that. I love all that. I might sing... It's something
do you like...
Do
musicals?
Yes, I
me
do.
Me too.
Yeah, I do.
What's your favourite?
Hard to say. On the Town's pretty great.
Yeah. I don't know that one.
Yes, you do. With the three...
Gene Kelly. We're Gene going Kelly on the town. We're going to take that city. Bam.
It's a good voice. I think you should do West End next. Yeah. Stanley,
you evoke lots of memories of food. What's a fragrance that would remind you of your mum, or a fragrance
that takes you back somewhere?
I think really something simple, like just when you just have olive oil in a pan with a little bit of garlic and onion, just that. And then my mother starts to make a marinara. It just, the whole house just changes. You know, that's that's what I do. Like if we rent a house someplace, or if I go on location and I have to stay in a hotel or an apartment for an extended period of time, the first thing I'll do is stock up, and I'll just light the stove and just cook marinara sauce so that the smell goes through everything. And then you just feel better. You feel slightly grounded.
I love that.
Just makes you feel better.
It's like you doing chopped and fried, Mum, fish balls. Imagine.
Never again.
Yeah, just feel right at home.
What? What'd you have?
Chopped and fried fish balls, Jewish.
It's something called gefilte fish.
Oh, gefilte fish. Yeah.
Yeah. So whenever I've cooked it, my mum used to cook it every week. But if I cook it,
it's powerful. Yeah, it is powerful.
And you stink. So you can only cook it before you have a bath.
Is gefilte fish from herring? Is it herring?
No.
No, it's just white.
It's just a white fish.
It's just a mixture of white fishes, carp, plaice, hake, haddock. And then you mix it all together with onion and egg and that's the meal. And then you fry it.
That is one thing I miss about New York.
The Jewish, yeah.
Really?
Oh, my God. Yeah, because I lived on the Upper West Side, where you had so many Jewish delis. You had Zabar's on the Upper West Side, which is incredible. Eli Zabar, this guy, opened this place, I don't know how many years ago, 50 years ago. It's huge. It's basically an emporium of food. But particularly like sort of New York Jewish. Then you had Barney Greengrass, which was an amazing deli. Meaning, like you'd go in, you could order stuff, but you could sit down and they'd make, you know, sturgeon and eggs all that sort of lox and bagels. And I mean, I really miss that. Yeah. You know, chicken noodle soup, soup and matzo balls, borscht, all that.
Okay, you can't really get it.
You can't
very
get it.
Here.
No.
So your book is out.
Yeah.
And the TV show's out.
Yeah.
Can people watch it in the UK, by the way?
Now they can.
What's it on?
CNN International.
Oh, her farm.
So I guess if you have Sky.
Okay. And you get it on old Netflix.
Well,
maybe.
I agree. But that was not.
Could.
Under my. Well, maybe someday if they choose to sell it to them. But it's up to CNN. They're the ones who. They control it.
So what's next? Are you shooting anything at the moment?
No, we're going to shoot the London episode here. So we're shooting an episode of our show, but here, with Italian chefs and Italian immigrants and so on and so forth, telling the story of... Because you have, I think, close to 400,000 Italian immigrants in London.
Oh, I didn't know.
It's huge. It's huge. And a lot of them are in the hospitality business. And as you know, we have incredible restaurants here that are Italian restaurants. So that's going to be the focus of this episode. We're doing it because we can't go to Italy. Mm. And we thought, well, let's...
You live here. It's authentic.
Yeah, why not? And you have. And what are those stories? Mm. Why are so many young people coming from Italy still to live and work in London? And that's a really interesting story to me. And a lot of them end up going into the food business. But even if they don't, we're telling stories that are connected to food, because Italians are always connected to food. No matter what their sort of social status is. A cab driver and a princess will be on equal footing when they talk about food. And that doesn't happen in any other country as far as I know.
Even with the north-south divide of Italy, there's still that common thread with the food, or do you think,
I think it is the common denominator. It's the thing that brings everybody together. I mean, Garibaldi united the country in the 1860s. And the real thing, one of the reasons we wanted to do the show, was to show the diversity of Italian food, but also to show that no matter who you are, no matter what your social standing, no matter what your upbringing, there is this obsession with food. And it is the only way that they communicate.
Well. Yeah, that's the kind of very... There's a real similarity with that. And Jewish food, but it's kind of... It's not the same, because I think that...
Well, it's not the same because there isn't... Because the Italians come from this one place. Mm. The Jews are scattered all over the world. So there are dishes that are similar from... if you go to Israel, if you go to, to Eastern Europe, there are dishes that are similar, but it's different because it's not necessarily a single race of people.
I'm leaving it on the bottom of the thing. So what is that?
Stop it.
But you don't have to eat.
I feel like you have used quite Italian ingredients.
This is
today,
gorgeous.
Mother.
This is Gennaro makes one of these.
And that's some mascarpone. Jess, do you want
You're a lovely guest.
Jessie, do you want some?
Yes, please. A slither, please.
Is this, the way you grew up, like this?
Yes, my mum has always done this. I mean, look, she's zhuzhed it up
like
today.
Like this every
but
day.
Well, she always kind of, there was always a kind of dessert after, even if it was, the offering of ice cream in the fritanalis.
This is gorgeous.
Mum, this is great. Mm. You've really done good today, gal.
Good.
Amazing. Perfect Italian meal.
Oh, it's been such a pleasure having you. And just, we knew you were going to be a goodie, but we could talk. We'll have to do a part two when you've got your next book or series out, because.
Yeah, and you can bring the Parmigiana.
Let's do this again. Thank you.
Yeah,
so much.
Thank
for
you.
Doing this.
Thank you.
If you don't mind me saying, you look very young and very,
very kind.
Handsome.
Thank you.
Your skin is beautiful.
And that is not thank the you. Wine talking.
No, baby. Wow.
Your skin is beautiful.
Shut that mic off.
I'm just a little bit in love.
I know. I felt like you had a real thing going on, you two.
Darling, he did say quietly, would you like to come to my house for dinner and I'll make you aubergine parmigiana? I think he meant to invite you as well, darling. It wasn't just me.
No, you take that. I said, I'll
bring the chicken soup. He said, done.
What an absolute gent, full of stories and opinions and just grace. And, I mean, that makes me feel like we do this podcast for,
Yeah, it was
the perks of meeting.
He was the
fabulous
perfect
men
guest,
like Stanley Tucci.
Yeah, he was fun. He was warm. He was generous spirited. He liked my food, Jessie.
He loved your food. Stanley Tucci's Taste is out now. You can try and find his program Searching for Italy on CNN. What do you say, International? And also, you could just watch him in loads of films, or what?
Just seen your grey hair.
Oh, fuck off. I thought I'd said something wrong. Yeah, I need to dye my hair again. Piss off. But just really, really enjoyed that. Mum, I've got other things to think about at the moment. Like,
get it done quickly, girl. Don't let things down.
Oh, Mum, leave me alone. Anyway, Stanley Tucci, thank you for being such a fantastic guest. Tell all your mates about us. Imagine if we got Meryl Streep. Because she went, oh, Stanley just said he had the best time ever. Stanley. Anyway, what a pleasure. I hope you enjoyed that as much as we did. And Mum, that polenta cake was absolutely banging.
And what about the rest of everything?
I mean, everything was great.
Yeah.
I do think mascarpone is the way to go.
I agree.
It's kind of better than cream, isn't it? It's that texture because you don't have to whip it. I did put a bit of cream in because it was so thick. I thought we're not going to get it on the plate. Also, let me just tell you, clementines don't work.
What? For that zest?
I couldn't zest it. It's too soft, the skin.
I'm very sorry.
Yeah, just one thing you had to remember today, darling, and you forgot it.
Sorry.
But you remembered to bring all your washing.
I have.
Yeah, well.
Thank you so much for listening, and we will see you next week.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey, folks, it's Mark Maron from WTF. I've been talking to all kinds of famous people in my garage since 2009, including a sitting president.
You know, I don't imagine you were flying in here on the chopper thinking like, you know, I am nervous about Mark.
No, I wasn't.
Okay, well, that's good.
That would be a problem.
It would be a problem.
If the president was feeling stressed about
coming to my garage.
Coming to your garage.
And now there's even more WTF when you subscribe to the full Marin to get weekly bonus content and all WTF episodes ad-free. Listen to WTF wherever you get podcasts and subscribe to the full Marin at go.acast.com/WTF.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.